Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Influential She. This is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp. And today we're going to be talking about the high leverage practice of doing. And basically what we're going to be talking about is how you move on from stuckness or how you accelerate within that space of doing the next thing. And so our guest today is really well positioned to do that. And Deb, I think about all the times when we spend a lot of time chairing that committee in our head over and over and over again.
Yeah, multiple voices.
Multiple voices that were talking to us, but didn't always act on that and take the next step. And I know you've talked about that a lot within the profession that you had before, that we did that not only politically, but we also did it in our professional lives.
Well, and you know, our guest today is just an amazing woman who has, you know, just exerted incredible influence to make things better. We're talking today with Chantelle Krebs. Now, she's been an entrepreneur and a business owner. She actually had this just amazing shoe store called The Red Shoe, and it was like an upscale funky shoe store, which was just
really,
and she was incredibly successful. She's also been a state legislator. She's been a secretary of state. But if anyone knows about, you know, really stopping that committee in your head and actually doing and moving forward, it's Chantelle. And currently, she's not only the chairman of the committee in her head, she is the chair for the Miss America organization, chair of the board. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad that you're here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk about the Miss America organization, but not only that, just things that you're, you know, when you're saying doing, I'm sitting here spinning my wheels thinking, oh, I've got some ideas. So I'm excited to talk with you.
So Chantelle.
Yeah. And I call you Melody, but I know you go by Mel.
So
it's always been Dr. Schopp.
That right now. Yeah. So let's get rid of all those other titles. It flowed better if it was Deb and Mel.
Yes.
So
I like
Mel,
it.
So just let go of all those other ways.
And you were like in the origin of you, people called you Mel.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
it's back to where I was.
You know, the people who are closest to her call her Mel. So we're like, hey, why not?
I'm Mel, no.
Great.
But I'm still going to call her Melody all the time in podcasts because that's
secretary.
How I know her too.
Secretary.
Well, we could say the same to you, Chantelle.
Same thing.
But hey, as a woman, you know, it's really been fun to watch you keep moving throughout your career. And there isn't really anyone that I know that exemplifies kind of doing and getting your trajectory of influence to change than you. So talk a little bit about, my goodness, how in the world did you end up being chair of the board for Miss America?
Well, it was a great call that you get from Gretchen Carlson, who was currently the chair of the board at that time in October of 2018. She called and said, would you consider being on the board or the chair, the board of the Miss America organization? And first of all, the Miss America organization is one of the longest household names, you know, a nonprofit. It's been around for almost 100 years. In fact, we're going into our 100th anniversary in 2021 because it started in 1921. And so when she called, it was, first of all, it's something that's very close to my heart, having been a former state title holder as Miss South Dakota. But not only that, some of the transition that the old leadership had gone through and what Gretchen and her team, Regina, our CEO, was going through and trying to change what we call into Miss America 2.0, I wanted to be a part of that because it's exactly what you're talking about. It's taking and doing. And that was being a part of a group of women that were doing exactly that, making a change from an organization that had been around for 100 years and somewhat had stayed the same. It had actually had progressed throughout the years. First, you know, one of the first organizations to offer scholarship for women. And then next, they changed the format of how judging Miss America was based on and taking away that outward beauty and outward appearance scoring. So you did not judge on that at all. And removing the swimsuit competition, which was really interesting.
Controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah, why? Because Miss America started in 1921 as a way to keep more tourists at Atlantic City along the shoreline.
I did not know that.
By parading around or displaying themselves in swimsuits. Now, remember, 1921, wearing a swimsuit on the shores.
Decadent.
Is very, very disruptive.
Of course.
And so when you think about that, then we now come full fruition to 2.0, Miss America 2.0, and we say we're going to get rid of that because it's time to change. Because women in this day and age are doing. We don't need to be judged on our outward beauty and outward appearance. We are wanting to be judged on who we are right here mm-hmm. and the scholarship money to obtain that career. And these young ladies are competing and vying for a job as a candidate to do just that. They want a job to get their education money to further their career. And that's what it is. So yes, I got a call asking and answering your question. Got a call to be a part of the board. And here I am today now with the transition with Gretchen having a transition in her life, Gretchen Carlson, and she's now got some documentaries coming out. So they're looking for a new chair and the board elected me as the chair most recently in June.
Wow. So when you think about these roles that you've been in your career and your personal life overall, and just rolling up your sleeves and getting it done. And I think that, you know, that's just part of like really being an influential person is that you just say, hey, whoever shows up has the say and you got to roll up and you got to get some work done. But that doesn't always happen because people are overanalyzing or thinking through and they get stuck on taking a step forward. Talk a little bit about what that's like for you because you keep moving.
You know, I think, first of all, I'm going to attribute to my mother and father. They were just doers, very, very hard workers. So growing up on a farm, I think you just had to do. And the expectation was that you did and you contributed, not only on the farm work, but also holding jobs in part-time. So if you wanted a car, you better have a part-time job mm-hmm. to pay for the car and the gas to go with it. And then even your own insurance to be responsible. So I feel like part of that is just my mother and father really had high expectations. I've always said that a good leader surrounds herself with even better people. And that's true, because if you surround yourself with better people, you set your bar and you've set the expectations higher, you're going to perform. When people expect more of you, you're going to perform because you don't want to let them down and disappoint them. And my mother really set the expectation high, and I didn't want to disappoint her or my father. And so I think that was a part of that and where a lot of my drive comes in from. And I'm a driver. What I say, I'm very driven, very ambitious. But a lot of us could be ambitious in different ways. Are we driven for recognition? Is it driven for money? Mm-hmm. Is it driven for just our goals? And I think for me, it's a combination of a little bit of everything. You know, a recognition, we like that. Of course, everyone likes recognition. Is it money driven in our careers to further our careers and advance our careers? But I think it has to be somewhat around your environment that you grew up in. And I think if someone isn't around that, they might not realize their potential. And so that expectations aren't set and they don't achieve it because they haven't been pushed. And I think some people think women like, oh, I shouldn't be pushed. I think everyone should be pushed because you're going to learn that when you are pushed, you're going to know your boundaries as kids,
right.
You know, they know their boundaries. Should I do
or
this
not.
And can I?
Yeah. We'll
and
find out.
Am I
going
to get
know.
In trouble? Yeah. It's the same thing for ourselves is how far can we push ourselves? And I think you have to have somebody to do that too, to help you.
But Chantel, you've had such a, you know, you look back on all the variety of opportunities that you have taken on. So what did you set out initially? What was your initial thought? Is it at all aligned to where you are today, which
no,
I would think maybe not.
Not
but
at
when
all.
You, you know, when I think about mm-hmm. all these steps along the way, I'm really curious what your first initial idea, what was Chantel going to do initially?
You know, initially I was going to move to Sioux Falls, the big city. That was, you know, have a job yeah. and a career and possibly as an attorney. And so I didn't even go into, you know, obviously a law school or anything like that. I got a business degree from Dakota State, which I'm one of the first ones, and I am the first one in my family to attend college and graduate from college. So that's the first step. But I was always surrounded by entrepreneurs. So my grandfather had a John Deere dealership. My other grandfather had a horse trailer business. My mom ran the farm. My dad ran the trucking company. My brother owns a car dealership. So I've been surrounded by mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. So when you are in that kind of environment, y'all just have to step up and help mm-hmm. and do something. So when you ask, was it, you know, am I where I thought I would be? Not mm-hmm. at all. But I always said that if you want to get something done, you ask the busiest person that you know. Mm. I mean, think about that.
Sure.
If you want something done or Deb, I'd probably ask you, one of you two, because I know you're going to get it done because you're busy and you achieve and you have goals and you get them done because you have a list and you don't right. even think about it. You just do it because the expectation was for you to get it done. That was the same thing on our, you know, in our environment when I grew up is that this is what you have to get done today and you better darn well get it done. If not, you know, you're going to have twice as much workload tomorrow. And so I always felt is that you surround yourself with good people. My mom and dad were one of those people and are those people that help me. But beyond that is that always surround yourself. And so what's the learning moment here is that I feel it's very important to have people that push you, that set the expectations high, and that keep you going. And so when you want something done, look around you to women that do things and then go to them and ask them to help you, because they will help you. And that's, it's important. I think sometimes women, and it frustrates me to see women that don't support each other.
Oh. Well, that's why you're here today helping us out.
You're helping us.
And it's so frustrating to see women that do not support each other, that we should be encouraging each other. Mm-hmm. How can you get there? What can you do? Or, hey, I made that dumb mistake. Don't do that. We've all learned those hard lessons. And so that's what I'm thinking. Just there's so many things going on in my mind right now when you ask that question, that you could go down all these different paths. But I feel part of that is environment, surrounding yourself, pushing yourself. And then having that expectation goal, what drives you? What motivates you? You know, there's the alarm clock, but beyond that, what gets you out of bed in the morning? And okay, I love to so just say, I got it done.
I understand setting expectations, surrounding yourself, but then there's still just the muscle of moving forward. And so when I think about all these roles that you've been in, you've taken on significant challenges within those roles and then just started making things happen. Talk a little bit about, it's one thing to set the bar high. Like, I understand that. But also some people will want to analyze longer, wait longer. Talk about how you develop that influence to, I'm going to move faster instead of, I'm not going to be closed off to new ideas. I don't see you being that way. But you also dig in quick and get going. Talk about where that's at for you, and what do you feel inside when you're coming into something new?
Well, first of all, I always think, okay, if I'm around someone, I want to try to learn from something that they have, a trait that they have. And I always think, okay, do I want to take something from that person that they have, like this, what their strength is? And I always realize that I'm a detailed person in some respect, but I like big picture. So if I'm around somebody that's an analyzer that takes too long and just decision-making in a simple process, whether it be what you're going to have for lunch to a meeting that you're having and you can't get the decision made on the meeting, that type of person may frustrate me. So maybe I don't want to be that person. So how can I look beyond that and say, how could I be different than that? But we need those analyzers, because again, surrounding yourself with people and those strengths that you don't have, or those traits that you don't have that someone else can bring to the table, will help you get what you need. So when you say, how did I do that? First of all, just digging in and asking lots of questions. So whatever environment I was placed in, I always asked the questions. I was never too good to do the dirty work, whether it be actually cleaning the manure out on the family farm or at the Secretary of State's office, asking and sitting at that front desk and asking, the phone of one of the 500 calls that we get a day, because that made me understand what the challenges were. So if you're going to understand what the challenges are in your current environment, you can't just be doing your own role. You have to be a part of the role that everyone else on your team is doing. And I think you'll understand that better. That's what was some of the things that helped me. So I didn't get stuck and just say lead, because a good leader has to understand what everybody else is doing to pull the ship along, or pull the wagon along, so to speak. So just doing, but being a part of your team and doing that job with them, because I learned. I'm not an expert in every one of these fields that I've been in, but the only way you could become an expert is to actually do it, or ask those that did know how to do it, and you learned and said, how would you do it differently? I always said that Sally was never allowed in my office. Sally, same as last year. And they told me, and in state government, that was always a challenge. It's like, well, we've been doing that for 20 years. You know, this is the way we've always done that. No, we're not going to do that for the next 15 years or 5 years. We're not even going to do that for the next year. Tell me in how you think we could do it differently, or let me sit alongside you and watch you do it so that I can think outside the box. I'm very creative when it comes to projects, and that's why I'm good at leading a project or starting a project from scratch and fixing a problem. So if you need something fixed, call me. I don't know what it is, but it's something that I tend to be able to look at a problem, a situation, evaluate, and go, this is where your hangup is. This is where the tumbling is, or this is where the times that the paper's been touched five times. Why are we touching it five times? How can we eliminate that workflow process? And I use that as an example because that's state government, you know? So when you ask me these questions, these are all the things that are coming out as I talk. are just the ideas of how it's gotten me is to actually do it yourself, learn, ask those that know what to do, set yourself those standards at a higher, don't be afraid to do the dirty work. And I guess for me, it's just push, 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 because I set those expectations high for myself. So I'm going to have to get it done so I don't let myself down.
I think, you know, we kind of have termed this as decision-making muscle that you have the ability to use. That's not only helped you within the position you have, but then be able to think beyond that. So was there always this thing in the back of your head from day one that was always like, I'm going to do this, but I'm not really done. The next thing, what's the next thing I'm going to jump into? Because that's what you've been able to do. You've been able to build on each experience to take you to where you are today.
And move quickly.
And you did it
through some big roles.
And they're big. Yeah. They're all really big roles, you know? So some it required that you had the campaigns and you had, positions that you were asked to take on, but that requires you to be brazen and to know that you might be able to not know everything as you're stepping into this. Right. But that decision-making muscle, was it thoughtful as you were going forward, or did some things come in front of you, or did you really sit down and think, okay, I know I want to run for political office, and then when I get to this position, I want to go on to the next. How did you think through that?
Sure. Well, I always wanted to be a part of public service. And I think part of that was my mother starting having me volunteer at a young age. Mm-hmm. You know, she had me volunteer at the local nursing home when I was in the third grade as an adopted grandchild. And I remember crying the whole way going to the nursing home going, I do not want to do this. It scares me. But then I got there and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. So that volunteer experience, and she made me do something
in a new space.
In a new space. I mean, I'm a farm kid coming into the nursing home, you know, in the healthcare environment that I would never, you know, want to be around. And I end up loving it and learning from them. So, no, when I graduated from high school, did I think I'm going to be Secretary of State? Never even crossed my mind. But so the question you asked is, yes, it was the situations that presented themselves. Mm-hmm. And was it people that said, you'd be really good at this and you should consider it? So, a few times there were people that said, you should think about doing that. And that was the case of Secretary of State. There's a situation, an environment, we need to clean this office up. Would you consider doing that? You seem to have that experience or that knowledge to be able to do that. I did want to run for public office as a legislator, but that's really all I ever thought I would do is be a legislator to give back and learn and be part of it because I was a legislative page. So the interest spurred because I was a legislative page when I was a senior in high school. So that's because of those leaders that were there at the time in 1991 that said, you really should consider being a legislator. And then this farm girl said, yeah, maybe I should do that. You know, so again, it's being around people and surrounding yourself with people that kind of push you or ask you the questions that go, maybe I should do that. And to this day now, did I ever thought I would lead the Miss America organization? No. When I was Miss South Dakota, I remember thinking, gosh, there are some things I would do differently. And in the past 20 years, having volunteered for the organization, I always said, the board really should try this, but you know, I'll never have that opportunity. So now I am as the chair of that organization, again, one of the oldest nonprofits, household names in the nation, that I can, you know, influence some of those things. But it's a women-driven program, number one, but it's also, we have a lot of women in leadership too.
Exactly.
But we are also an organization that is solidly supported by thousands of volunteers, you know, 8,500, 10,000 boots on the ground that make this organization happen. So making sure you cultivate and appreciate them, I think that's also important. And I didn't touch on that when I was in that leadership role as Secretary of State. I hope that my employees can say that I appreciated them and I thanked them and then I encouraged them. And I remember them telling me that you did push me. You made me do something that I would never thought of doing or trying. And so that's the whole idea too, as a woman, is you've got to push each other and ask each other, is that where you're going to stop? Or yeah, can't you do a little bit more? Come on, Mel. I know, you know, this is your next step. Deb, you know, there's more that you got there.
Okay. So now we've talked about, I mean, to our listeners, it could seem like, all right, it's everything went so smooth and it was so easy and so buttoned up and tied up with a bow. We just know that's not how life is.
Right.
So talk a little bit about times when you felt, okay, I do have too many voices in my head. I'm struggling with that decision-making place. I'm stuck. Even though you've moved really fast, we all end up in places where we're stuck.
Yeah.
What is that like for you when you're so driven? And you're pretty clear most of the time.
Very clear. Yeah. That's
but then
so true.
Sometimes when it isn't clear, talk about what that's like for you.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. And I'm sure both of you, the same type of personality, type A personality, it's frustrating to be stuck. And for us, if it's a day, it seems like a long, eternity mm-hmm. for us. So for someone that wants to think about the next career, and for my case, having not chose to run for Secretary of State again, and yet take on a congressional campaign, that was like, okay, you just assume that you'd possibly win. You got to go in thinking you're going to win mm-hmm. that race. And when you don't win a primary, then you think, oh, wow, what's the next step? But there's also this divine intervention that happens too, where God does provide those opportunities and grooms you and prepares you for that next thing that is thrown at you or that is placed before you. But there was those few months there after that congressional race where I did lose that primary. And you think, what can I provide next? And I did look back and go, I've done a lot. I've had a wonderful life. I am so blessed. I've experienced so much. Thank you. Thank you for it. What do I want to do? And that's literally what I had to ask myself is, what do I want to do? And I think that's what you have to do is you have to, again, push yourself, question mm-hmm. yourself, and say, what do you want to do?
But you're talking about an important thing here about mm-hmm. waiting a little
mm-hmm.
to hear an answer or something that starts to feel right in being able to decide again.
Instead of being desperate because sometimes we want an instant answer. Oh, it's like,
and it's painful.
You're a doer,
right.
But as being a doer,
but what's the next doing?
And what's the right. next doing? And what do you make sure that you don't compromise that decision for something that's going to really lead you to do something that you really are passionate about?
I think part of that process for me was learning one of the traits of better patience. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say I feel like I'm a bit more patient because of this last year's process. And it's something I probably need to work on. And the dear Lord said, you need to learn patience, young lady, mm-hmm. and patience, master. And it was really good for me. Because I think it's also, again, a trait that now can help me bring me to this table as the chair of the Miss America organization. We're trying to continue making changes with the Miss America 2.0. We eliminated the swimsuit. We continue to battle that we're a beauty pageant, and we're not. We are a competition. We have vying candidates that want a job where they travel 20,000 miles a month. How can I help lead this organization for the next 100 years? So the decisions we're making today in this Miss America organization has to be sustainable for the next 100 years. Otherwise, this organization will not be relevant if we don't make relevant decisions. And so we have to be patient to figure out what is the world looking. And I love our mission statement. And I think I want to share this because mm-hmm. it's a good one for all of us to hear. Our mission as the Miss America organization, our statement is, we're preparing great women for the world, but we're preparing the world for great women. And I think that's the next step that you're doing, Mel
yep.
and Deb.
Mm-hmm. That's what
preparing
we're up to.
The world for great women. There's a lot of great women. Are we tapped? Are we untapped? Maybe. Is it because of ourselves? Possibly.
Exactly.
And so do we need to do some self-assessment as women, as an employee, as a mother, as a grandmother? Where are we stuck? And then do we make sure that we are relevant? Because we can become unstuck, but are we going to be relevant too?
And are we going to accelerate? Is yeah. influence going to be possible with where we're headed? And I think that, you're going to be uncomfortable in this space yeah. of waiting for the next, you might be stuck in a certain situation and you're reflecting on it or you're trying to be patient. And that is not a really fun place when you want to get doing.
Right.
But it's an important place. You have to, as long as you don't get there too long and it becomes a feedback loop of never moving forward anymore.
For me, I did some self-reflection. So it's a good time to, I'm old fashioned. I like sticky notes. I like, drawing, writing things down.
I'm okay. a sticky note person too.
The phone is great, mm-hmm. but that T chart, what have you done? What have you gained? What experiences have you had? What skill set is your strengths? It's mm-hmm. like that Strength Finder sure. book. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What could you improve upon? Or do you just build on your strengths, which I feel is much easier to do and really makes much more sense. Yes, you can always improve upon our weaknesses. That's the learning moments that we should encounter every day or at least try to. But for me, it was writing it down too in those that time frame where I was evaluating what that next role was. And that was helpful. It was that self-reflection. And maybe you have to have other people. I'm kind of a person that does that myself. But for some of us, we might utilize others and a strong woman or a leader to help us with that. Maybe that's what you need to do, but that's a good time to do that, that self-reflection of what you've done, your strengths, your weaknesses, and where to go next, and what can I contribute based on all these experiences. Mm-hmm. All of these ladies, all of you have unbelievable experiences that you brought to the table. We need them. Mm-hmm. And what have you done there that can push for the next step in your life?
We talked to a woman the other day. She called this outsourcing. Needed help, she outsourced and she found mm-hmm. different ways. And what for her, part of it was with her children, but she would outsource when she didn't have a specific, you know, something that she was able to do on her own.
Right.
She outsourced for it. And I thought that was a great term. Here's what I really appreciate about you, Chantel, though. I think back that you bring this down-to-earth Chantel along with now being the chair of Miss America, because I have seen you in the cowboy boots and I've seen you and, you know, out fixing fence. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this side of you that is so genuine and real. And yet you can take that and you can be the influential woman you are today and still maintain all of that genuine part that I think is so important, that we don't have to, as women, give up a piece of who we are to become what we want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I really appreciate about you, because you still value and own those really deep values. And now we're kind of going back to mm-hmm. a different HLP that we talk about, but that is a part that you've been able to take those experiences, but still maintain the Chantel,
the realness. Yeah, and you started off the show today talking about, you know, grandparents mm-hmm. and your parents and, mm-hmm. you know, that there's this grounding mm-hmm. within you and pushing mm-hmm. that happened from, mm-hmm. you know, just your fundamental you. And that is what gives you the strength to keep moving forward. And I think women have this, if they think, even if you've come from a troubled place.
Correct.
Strength to move even outside of that troubled space, or strength to become a woman in a troubled space. You know, bad experiences happen to all of us. Mm-hmm. But you have to think through what were the good nuggets. Some have more good ones than, you know, a stronger mm-hmm. number. But within you, that's what helps you do again.
You went from cowboy boots to the best shoe store.
The best shoe store.
Boots.
Whoa, yeah, I bought a couple pairs of those.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But, you know, I think that in even letting women know that you don't have to give up something to be. Yeah. What you are today, which women would just, how many women have aspired to or think, wow, you know, to be able to chair Miss America is pretty powerful. So
I think that's important. That's a really good point, Mel and Deb. You both bring that up, that you have to have that part that you can just let your hair down, so to speak. And there's a part of me, I love baseball caps. I mean, you know, you don't have to fix the hair and put the lipstick on, even though I do like lipstick. Mm-hmm. There's a part of you that we all appreciate. Where's the moment and where can you just be you? For me, it's outside, outdoors. Mm-hmm. Even in the wintertime, I'm always outside doing something, you know, tinkering with something. Mm-hmm. So find that place in those moments. And again, going back to that comment that you made, if you come from a troubled environment, find people that help you then and go to them as a resource, but appreciate them and let them know that and thank them for what they've done to help you become the person you are. Because we don't thank each other enough. We have to encourage women and say, thank you. Deb, thanks for being such a great chair in the health committee. I mean, you were so spot on. And Melody, I learned more about education than I think I'll ever have known, and had no desire to be in the education environment, but you sharing it. So you have to thank women and appreciate that. I think that helps us encourage each other as well. But yeah, you always have to have that moment where you can just be yourself. I mean, going home and just put the baseball cap and blue jeans and cowboy boots on and go ride horse or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your husband, you actually start a little ranch.
We had a little buffalo ranch.
So
you just got to find those moments where you can just be you. And I think a lot of us have two sides of us. You know what I mean? There's those two sides, you know, there's Nana, grandma, mm-hmm. and there's the mom role. And then there's the role that you in your career, and a woman, you embrace it all. And that's important. I think you gotta have multiple roles because I think we thrive on that. And it also keeps life interesting. Mm-hmm. It also helps us, I think, to be diverse. It keeps our mind healthy and diverse. And I think that's important, is that we do have multiple roles. I just keep going back to that. I always say, you know, be appreciative of those that are around you. And we've all been there. We've had those bumps in our roads, but always looking for an opportunity to help someone, because we all know if we're asked to help another person, we do it. We love to help. That's our nature and our nurturing role that we have too, deep down in us, is how can we help somebody? So don't be afraid to ask. That's probably the other area, or encourage. Push Deb to continue running for a higher office. Mm-hmm. You know, push someone. Have you thought about that? Have you done that? Have you considered that? Make them think. And then if they say, oh, I don't know, oh, let's sit down and talk about it, because you can ask the question, but then you need to follow up. That's a big thing for me, is follow through. I am a person that sets those expectations, but then you better deliver on them. And I have expectations that are time, date, stamp, that I want that delivered by this time.
Sounds like a Chantel.
You know,
in 24 hours, we should be responding to emails. Yes. Things. Those little things make a big difference, is that setting the expectation, mm-hmm. the follow through, and then having a date that you say, I need to have a decision made by a certain date. And if it doesn't happen, then you need to reevaluate and start that process over again.
Well, and see, you just summed up how to become unstuck.
Exactly. I guess so.
Do it. If you want to understand the situation that you're in, make a decision about the expectation where you're going, set a deadline for yourself, mm-hmm. and get after it.
Yep. And if it doesn't happen, like I said, you might have to start over again and reevaluate.
Tell just a little bit more. I'm really interested in your role with the Miss America. What are some of the things that you are
scoop?
We don't know what it's like.
Listeners want to know the scoop.
Yeah, they want to know a little bit more about.
We are a working board, and so just like all boards, but mm-hmm. a working board. And when you're going through a transition of leadership that mm-hmm. has happened in the Miss America organization, that's part of it, is changing, like I said, moving from. But the board's role specifically, it's governance, obviously approving of the budgets, looking back and saying, okay, what have we done and what should we do and move forward? Separation of powers, so to speak, because there is the foundation board, which is where all the scholarship money comes mm-hmm. in, the 501c3. Then there's the operational board, which is the organization. That's the 501c4 that operates our day-to-day mm-hmm. Budgets. And so it's a full-time, full year-round position or
and a
job.
Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, she understands those business structures cold.
You know, proper governance is very important. What type of structure do you have for that governance? How you separate of the powers so that where the voting roles in the 501c3 versus the 501c4. So understanding that, moving forward, of course, for fundraising, we are a nonprofit. So mm-hmm. right now it's getting ready for the telecast on December 19th on NBC, which we're excited to go back home to NBC. So everything's about the telecast, and I'm learning a ton about telecasts and just the roles that, we would play in the decision-making and the time and the executive producers and what it takes to put together a live show. And so that in itself is unbelievable. I mean, we are a big part of deciding what happens on that show and what image we want to portray. And that portray is more inclusiveness, more scholarships for women, showing those women their ability to think on their feet and to do the job of what it is, and their social impact statement. So we want to make sure, and that's our role, is to make sure that that is all portrayed to the viewership, but at the same time, making sure that we're relevant, we continue to be relevant, because again, we have this challenge that we're still a beauty pageant, and we are not. I mean, we are truly a scholarship organization. We're the largest scholarship provider for women in the nation. We've provided over $45 million in scholarships. So when you ask, what do? It's that foundation, building those relationships with donors, making sure that it's a right partnership with our mission, and mm-hmm. that sponsor is a good fit for our organization to portray that image, whatever that sponsor is and whoever that sponsor is, making sure we're delivering on that sponsorship, saying we promote and support them because they support Miss America. Having the telecast deliver what is an entertaining telecast at the same time, drawing interest, because we want more women to be involved in this program, because we're giving away money. Mm-hmm. We give away tons of money in scholarships for STEM-related fields or nursing or business or medical fields. We have everyone from talent competitions for a chemical a project, a science project that you'll see on stage, to a baton twirler. But that is the stuff that we're talking about. So when you say what we're doing, right, there's lots. But the telecast is by far the
most
fun.
That's fascinating. How fun. That has to be really, really fun. And taking your talents and moving them in that direction has just got to be really satisfying.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah, we're so thrilled that you're willing to take time with us today, because I think we've known you throughout your many different roles, and I'll tell you what, it's really satisfying to see somebody like you who's been willing to take some chances along the way and continue to grow and develop. And I think we can do that all the way throughout our lives, but to see where you landed today, it's really exciting. And so for you to take time with us, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Exemplify what it means to keep doing things and how you ground that in who is your authentic self, and to make really influential things happen. It's amazing.
Right.
Thanks for being on the show.
You think one path is going to be one way, but then it just opens up the door in the other way, and you just take it and run with it.
And you got to show that for other. I mean, that's you're a great example for other women. So thank you.
Thank you so much,
everyone, for tuning in to this podcast. And we want to leave you with a question, just to say, how are you in relationship to doing in your own life? Are you stuck listening to the committee in your head? Well, maybe it's time to bring in a new member so that you can finally get to a decision, and that most influential member is you. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Influential She. We hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.